From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in your recycling bin. What's in there? Does it belong there? Did you check the number on your plastic containers to make sure they are actually recyclable? Did you toss it in some amalgam of plastic and paper and hope it gets recycled? And why do you have thick scrap metal in there? What's with those batteries? Is that a computer in there? Americans are very confused about recycling. I am. It's changed over the years, and a lot of what we hope will be recycled isn't. Plastic recycling is down, but we keep wishing. We keep trying. Instead, this hour, instead of just wishing, we aim to clarify how best to think about this, where to put your stuff, where not to put it, and how to think about the larger picture. When we think about cleaner and healthier communities, when we think about a changing climate, what we consume matters. Our guests this hour will help, and they will answer your questions as best they can. And I'm sure you have them. I already have a stack of them. Mike Garland is director of the Monroe County Department of Environmental Services. Mike, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Well, great to be here, Evan. Thank you so much.
Tina Stevens, education coordinator for the Monroe County Department of Environmental Services. Tina, welcome to you.
Thank you, Evan. Great to be here.
Great to have you. And Jeff Myers, general manager for Cascades Recovery and chair of the Monroe County Recycling Advisory Committee. Jeff, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. I'm excited to join this group.
Yeah, I will say, listeners, if you've got questions or comments, I really do already have a stack. And I will simply go through because at some point this hour, I think that will be very instructive to us. And if you want to ask questions about where to go, where to take something, what you know the process is like, how it's changed, and what our guests want you to know about recycling, you can do that. It's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free. 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Email is connections@WXXI.org. Generally speaking, Mike Garland, how much has changed in, the last 5 to 10 years about what we can actually expect to recycle as consumers?
Well, thank you, Evan. On behalf of County Executive Bello, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you today and your audience about recycling. 2021 marks the 30-year anniversary of recycling here in Monroe County. It began in 1991 by law. And 2021 also marks the 10-year anniversary of the EcoPark, which is a partnership between Monroe County and Waste Management. And this week is a perfect week to get together because we know Thursday is Earth Day. So what a great time to talk about recycling. And, you know, Monroe County has a long history of environmental stewardship. We have a huge population of dedicated recyclers here in our community, and they all want to do the right thing. But what we know from our outreach events that residents want to recycle right, they just need to know how and to be reminded on occasion. So it's important that Monroe County lead from the front and that we provide the information that residents want to know so that they can recycle right. And I'm happy to say that recycling in Monroe County remains very resilient and very robust. But it's, again, we need to be vigilant. We've got to get the information out there because, as you said, there is confusion because it's changed significantly over the years. And Monroe County owns and operates a number of environmental assets and infrastructure that are all dedicated to resource recovery. And back in 91, recycling was fairly rudimentary. You know, it was newspapers, it was glass, it was magazines, it was plastics, what we called back then number one and two. Well, it's evolved over the years, taking on new materials. And our list, we have a long list. We've even changed the way we process the recycling. So the residents have had to adapt. And through that adaptation, there's been some confusion. And that's where Tina, who's our ambassador of recycling, is out there in the community getting the word out so that folks can recycle right. And with that, I guess I'll turn it to Tina. Maybe she can shed some light on what she's heard as she's engaged with the community.
Yeah, Tina, please.
Well, thanks, Mike. There is a lot of confusion. And one of the big things is that in 2018, folks were really confused because there was a lot of press about recycling being landfilled. And let me assure everyone, and I tell everyone in every presentation I make, recycling was never landfilled in Monroe County. If you put it in your bin, and it is supposed to be there, and that's the operative phrase, it would have been recycled. The problem came in that China was no longer accepting America's recycling. Where that came into a problem was the West Coast communities who don't have the infrastructure that Monroe County does. They would just put their recycling on a boat, send it to China, and they considered that recycling. A lot of them did that. Well, then when China stopped accepting recycling, it created this huge glut of acceptable materials here in the United States. And because so much had been sent overseas for so long, there was no infrastructure to process it. I'm happy to say that that has now started to come around. There are more paper mills. There's more outlets for plastic. That has now come around. So the one thing is, if you hear anybody saying, oh, it's just going into the landfill anyway, please, please, please tell them that is not the case here in Monroe County.
You're going to get that question in probably multiple ways this hour, Tina. I already have that in my stack.
I'm well prepared, Evan.
And I'm glad to hear that. Jeff Myers, what would you want people to know as we open this hour before we get to specific questions?
Well, to answer your question about what has changed the most in the last 5 years, and to dovetail a little bit on what Tina was saying, was the technology in the collection trucks has changed quite a bit in the last 10 years, especially in the last 5 years. So what you've seen is the trucks that collect at people's homes have multiple chambers in them, and some are compaction trucks and some are not compaction trucks. And what this does is it will allow one truck to pick up multiple items at an individual's home and keep them separated within the truck. And then they can go to a variety of different locations to dump the recycling at the recycling center and the waste either at the transfer station or the landfill. So if residents see one truck picking up all of their material, it's not all going in the same chamber and going to the same place. The technology in the trucks have allowed for multiple collection on one truck. This helps traffic, right? It lowers the number of trucks on the street and lowers the carbon footprint of the collection.
All right. So I think some really good information from all three of our guests at the start. And just to try to be of service to the listeners, I think we will work through as many questions as we can. And let me start. And one listener sends a short stack of questions in one email, starting with this. I have read that less than 10% of recycled materials are actually recycled, or 10% of intended recycled materials are actually recycled, with 90% going into a landfill. What is Monroe County's record on that? Tina?
Actually, they have it totally backward. In Monroe County, what we have, there's something called a contamination rate, which is things that aren't supposed to be in the bin. We run at about 9.2%, and at least we did for 2020. So only less than 10% of what's in the bin is not supposed to be there and ends up landfilled. The nationwide, that figure is 25%, or one in four items that is placed in the bin does not belong there.
Tina, so what you're saying is in Monroe County, residents, roughly 91% of what they're putting out to be recycled does get recycled?
That's correct.
I'm not saying I don't believe you. It's just I don't think I believe you.
Okay, well,
that is such a high number.
Seven.
I know. I'm not trying to call to account the credibility here. That's a very, very heartening number. But why is that? I mean, are we getting better at identifying it ourselves? I don't feel like I've gotten much better as a consumer. Are you getting much better at figuring out what to do with it? I mean, why is the number that high, Tina?
Well, there's a bunch of reasons. First of all, Monroe County doesn't have any direct involvement with brokering materials. In other words, selling materials to end users. Waste management does that for us. So we have a very high percentage of what we take in that we can market. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is, and I'm going to, do a little self-promotion shout-out here, we do a really great job of educating the public. We have a ton of resources. Our resources are recognized statewide. We have things like some award-winning, as a matter of fact, Evan Telly award-winning videos on our website that give tours of the plant in the Eco Park. We just put up a brand new recycling quiz last week so that folks can go in and check their recycling knowledge. We have a coloring book. We've done signage for different areas so that you know exactly what to put in the bin. Folks can go online and request a magnet and a package of information. And we also have a really great 38-page document called a Recyclopedia, which is a very comprehensive look it up, and if it's not here, it'll tell you what to do with that kind of document. So we do a really good job, I think, with limited money, as always in government. There's always a financial factor with limited resources, but we do a very good job of educating the public. And the other thing is, I think we have a public in Monroe County that for the last 30 years has wanted to recycle, and I always operate off the assumption that everybody wants to do the right thing. They just don't know what it is. And that's my job, is to teach you.
Does the Monroe County make a profit on recycling, or is it an expense?
I can take that question.
Yeah, Mike.
We have, our success is really dependent upon the partnerships that we have in the community. We've got a number of private sector relationships, Cascade Recovery Plus, that Jeff works for, Waste Management of New York. Waste Management operates our recycling center. We work closely with Wegmans, Food Link, Sun King. Even the graphics that are part of the Recyclopedia and education materials were developed by a local artist, Chris Lyons, who has national recognition. Graphic artists did a wonderful job because we know people need to be able to relate to these graphics to understand what they can and can't recycle. We work closely with RIT, Dr. Nasser over at the Galisano Institute of Sustainability. And our probably the most important intermunicipal relationship we have is with the city of Rochester. And so I work very closely with Commissioner Norman Jones, coordinating recycling in the county and the city. As it relates to, we are out of the risk, if you will, of the commodity market of the recycling. We do earn, Monroe County does earn, some fee based on the amount of tons that are processed through our facility. That's revenue that helps offset our expense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that revenue is for. It's not a profit, but it's necessary to offset our expense within our solid waste division within the Department of Environmental Services. But we've privatized much of our operation so that we can maximize the benefit to the community, minimize the risk to the county, and impact to the taxpayers of Monroe County.
Talking to Mike Garland, Director of the Monroe County Department of Environmental Services. And before I get to your phone calls, I will mention, Tina said that there is a quiz on there, and we'll link to it on our platform so people can take it, because I think continuing education is good, and I'd be very curious to see how badly I do on that. So I will make sure that we link to that so you can check it out. I'm really grateful the amount of education and outreach they're doing. And actually, let me take a phone call on that. Nell in Penfield wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Nell.
Hi. I would agree that I was very surprised to actually hear that 97% of what we put in is actually recycled. I'm thrilled about that. And I do want to know, Monroe County give them kudos, because I recently and often get emails from them reminding us what can be put in the recyclable bin and what cannot. And so I do review that to be reminded, because I kind of forget, as my husband does, of what we can put in the recycle bin, and it really is quite helpful. So it reminds me what I should utilize for recycling, what I shouldn't, and sometimes I have to direct my family that, no, that can't go in the recycle bin. But those reminders of getting the emails are very helpful, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Nell. I'm sure, Tina, that's heartening to you guys, because as much as it is surprising to hear how well we're doing, it's a testament, I think, to the outreach. But on the specifics, let's just take as many questions as we can here. And actually, let me kick one to Jeff to start off. I have this from several different listeners asking if a recyclable material is dirty, it's not cleaned up, maybe it was a food container, et cetera, then it cannot be recycled. True or false, Jeff?
It cannot be recycled. That is true. We want everything to be clean, dry, and empty.
Clean, dry, and empty. How are we doing as a community with that? Could we get better with that?
Tina, you're a little closer with the MCRC.
That's actually figured into that 9.2%. 1% rate that I talked about earlier, the residue rate. We really need things to be empty, clean, and dry, as Jeff said. And the other thing is no food. And the biggest contaminant, and I saw this question on your Twitter feed today, Evan, are pizza boxes. Pizza boxes are a huge issue, and what we need folks to do with that, open up the box, take a good look, empty it out, take out that plastic paper that's in the bottom and the little plastic thing that holds up the top, throw those away, throw any food away. If the box is soaked with grease, rip off the bottom, throw it away, and recycle the top. If it is not soaked with grease, it can be flattened and put into your recycle bin. The only reason we ask you to flatten it is so you have more room in the bin.
And if I could add to that, Evan, too, you know, we created a graphic called the Dirty Dozen. It really highlights items that we're finding in recycling bins or toters that are creating operational issues in the processing center or minimizing our ability to market the materials that have been processed. But things like propane tanks, we find those in the recycling bins, and those can cause explosions and obviously fires. We've got tanglers like ropes and hoses or hangers, very problematic. Food, as Tina mentioned, batteries, clothing, things like that, we want to keep that out of the recycling bin. And that's really where the Eco Park comes in, and I can talk about that and what the Eco Park is intended to do.
Okay. Well, why don't you give us a little bit more of a sense of what the Eco Park is, Mike, for those who have not been there?
Sure. My kids were hoping there would be amusement rides at the Eco Park. They were very disappointed to find out there weren't. So I haven't been back with the kids. But nevertheless, the Eco Park is a partnership between Monroe County and Waste Management of New York. And it was put together to really address a need in the community to manage hard-to-recover and hard-to-recycle materials. These are materials we don't want in your bin at the curb, and we don't want in your trash. So the Eco Park is located centrally in the county over at Avion Drive. It's open 2 days a week, and we can take a very long and comprehensive list of materials like appliances, bulky plastics, fire extinguishers, electronics, fluorescent lights, household hazardous waste, just to name a few. And we add to that list of materials regularly. We get a lot of input from the Recycling Advisory Committee on materials that are recoverable and they're recyclable. Some of them are fee-based, like televisions and things like that. Electronics we can no longer go into the landfill. But you often see televisions at the side of the road. That's a no-no. There's a lot of heavy metals in televisions and flat-screen TVs, and we need those brought to the Eco Park. But it's really one of a kind. We even accept pharmaceuticals. It was really one of a kind in the country when we developed it.
All right. So, and I know some of the questions coming up will bring us back into Eco Park because looking at the stack, you know, we're going to go in a lot of different directions. I know there's questions on, well, let's take this. I've got several questions on batteries. Kathy, Monique writing and asking, standard household batteries. Wegmans used to take them. Not sure what to do with them now, but we have a few containers full because we don't want to put them out in the trash. Should we not put them in the trash? Should we not put them in the recycling? What should we do with them? Mike?
Well, alkaline batteries are safe to put in the trash, regular alkaline batteries. The batteries that we want brought back to the Eco Park are any of the lithium or NiCad batteries. Those we do not want in the landfill, and we want it kept out of the sewers. There's other take-back programs, other private take-back programs, and at our Eco Park website, monroecounty.gov/EcoPark, there are resources there where folks can do research on where they can send materials if we're not open at a convenient time at the Eco Park or on a particular day, and they would like to send it elsewhere.
Okay. Hope that helps there. Another question that I have from both Anna and Kristen and Arondequoit, is it true that if there is even one item in your bin that should not be there, the whole recycling load is ruined and tossed in the trash? Tina?
One thing will be sorted out. No, we try to recover as much as we can. And again, you know, with a 9.2% contamination rate, we do recover an awful lot of things. So, no, that answer is no.
Okay. Then maybe, I don't know if you, Jeff, Mike, could take us through the process of the life of a bin. I think a lot of people are curious when they send that bin out, you know, despite our high success rate, Tina, I'm sure there's occasionally items people put in going, I don't know about this one. We're going to try it. I mean, what happens with the bin?
There's actually a term for that, Evan. It's called wish cycling, as in, I wish this were recyclable. And we wish people would do a lot less of that. But what happens is bin goes to the truck. Truck comes to the recycling center. It gets tipped onto the floor. Then it goes through a series of sorting mechanisms. There is a very great depiction of this in our video, which is on MonroeCounty.gov/recycling. It's 10 minutes long. It takes you right through the plant. And you can see all of the obstacles that folks come up with that they when they are sorting. For example, there are some Tupperware containers that go through on the line that every time I watch that video, I see them, I go, oh, my gosh, there's Tupperware in there that shouldn't be there. There are plastic bags.
But why not Tupperware, for example?
Tupperware it's not recyclable. It's just not, we are not able to take that and make it into something else. We don't have a market for it.
Okay.
There's what they are like Christmas cookie forms. You'll see them when they go through the line. They're red. But we don't have a stream for that. And everything we take in, we have to have a recycling stream for.
Okay. So let me just continue working through the questions then. Judy in around quite next. Go ahead, Judy.
Yes. I'm sure this is an ongoing problem for multiple people. And it's pill containers, which I know are not supposed to go in the recycle bin, but I'm hesitant then to throw them into the garbage and to expect people to bring, you know, pill containers all the way out to the recycle center, I think is unrealistic. Is there some way, you know, that they could be, like, taken up maybe every couple months in a location or something?
I don't know which of the group is best to maybe answer this one. Jeff, Tina, Mike?
Some stores now. I believe CVS is one of them. I don't have the particulars, but check with your drugstore when you go the next time and ask them.
I think it's mostly if you have pills that they want to take back. I do admit that I have been putting them in there, but what happens to them then? What happens to those empty containers?
If you bring them to the Eco Park, which I know you said you didn't want to, but if you do bring them there, we do have a recycling stream for those. Those go to an incinerator in Niagara Falls. And what it is, it's a waste-to-energy plant. No, so the plastic, when it burns, the energy is used to make electricity. So it's all good that the electricity all comes back to the grid. That's all good. Okay. It's also what we do with pharmaceuticals that we collect as well. And I totally understand about not wanting to make the trip, but what I just told someone this morning as well is start a bag in your pantry. When the bag is full, then make the trip out.
I have a garbage bag already.
Well, then you've got plenty to bring out to the Eco Park. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
It's 844-295-TALK as we talk about recycling, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Mark writes to say, can one of your guests just explain the numbers on plastic recycling, what it means, and what is thumbs up, what is thumbs down? Again, Mike, Tina, Jeff, can someone take the plastic numbering system and what that means?
Well, sure. This is Mike, and the plastic resin identification code really came out of the petroleum and chemical industry to identify the nature of what resin was a component of that particular product. And that was really one way that we identified plastics. And the old way of identifying number one and number two plastics, number one are PET, number two are high-density polyethylene. And those were very, very marketable. We've gotten away from that because while it may have a plastic resin identification code stamped on it, it may not be material that's readily recyclable or recoverable. So what we've done is shifted away from the identification code to asking residents to place in their bin only bottles, jugs, jars, and tubs. and we'll take it from there. That is one way in which we can minimize contamination, because there are certain plastics that are not very marketable, very difficult to recover, and they can increase contamination in, say, paper bales, where we're creating bales of paper or cardboard or mixed paper or high-quality office paper. We don't want some of those plastics getting in there.
Okay. And anything you want to add, Tina, Jeff, on that one?
Was also an outcome of the 2018 national sort is that we really had to reevaluate our plastics. So, okay. that was the outcome of that.
Okay, Jeff?
The only real thing I would have to add is that the number ones and twos, those are a mature market in that those products, there's been products being made from number ones and twos for a very long time now, and that's an established market, and it stood the test of time and will continue to stand the test of time. So you can never go wrong with the ones and twos.
Ones and twos. Yeah, I have an email from a listener that I haven't gotten to yet, Jeff, that was essentially saying that in our household, if it's a one or a two, we put it in, and if it's anything higher than that, we don't. Again, how is that for a rule of thumb?
Well, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, you can never go wrong with ones and twos. I know the county's system program accepts more than just ones or twos, but you can never go wrong with just ones or twos.
Okay. Mike, you want to add to that?
Yeah, what we tell people, and we have a magnet that residents can request. They go on the refrigerator. It's great on garbage night, so you can quickly reference it. But what we tell people is, when in doubt, throw it out. Because it's that important to minimize contamination in the waste stream. Obviously, we want to divert material away from the landfill. It's our primary goal. But if people are confused, we recommend that they throw it out. Now, what we'd like them to do is go to our website, monroecounty.gov/recycling. And again, we've got a tremendous amount of information that we think is very easy to understand and remember. And again, much of it, it's graphic. And you'll identify these items. And we've got them categorized as acceptable or unacceptable material, like clamshells that you might get at takeout, or hot coffee cups, and other items like that we've identified, hoping to make it easy for residents to be able to recycle right.
Yeah, generally speaking, Mike, speaking of hot coffee, if you go through Starbucks and you get a to-go container, is that recyclable?
It is not.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, that is amazing. Listeners, that is why I am trying to remind myself to bring mobile coffee, permanent coffee cups with me. And I've got to do better with that. Go ahead, Mike.
You're right, Adam. Or excuse me, Evan. It's all about the three R's: reduce, reuse, and recycle. So by you bringing that reusable coffee mug, you're diverting material, preventing material from getting into the landfill.
All right. After our only break, we're coming right back to your phone calls. We got more questions about the Eco Park. We've got questions about where these services are available, maybe how things change at the county line. And we'll take many more of your phone calls after this only break with Mike Garland, Director of the Monroe County Department of Environmental Services, Tina Stevens, Education Coordinator, Jeff Myers is General Manager for Cascades Recovery and Chair of the Monroe County Recycling Advisory Committee. Answering your questions on recycling next. Coming up in our second hour, the heads of the local vaccine task force join us. The last time they were on this program, things were very different. People were having a hard time getting appointments for loved ones or their parents and themselves. Now it's very different. Now we've got a situation where there are a lot more vaccines maybe than even people asking for them. That's true in other states. What about here? What do we do about it? We're going to talk about taking vaccines to the next level next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Rob LaPointe is the supervisor of the town of Pavilion, New York, who is on the line with us now. Hi, Rob. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you, Evan. Yeah, it's interesting. We just formed a steering committee here in Pavilion, which is a small town in southeastern Genesee County, to look at our waste disposable services. We operate a small transfer station here in town, but we don't have a municipal contract for roadside pickup. So some of our residents are retail customers of waste management predominantly, and then we also operate the town transfer station. So my curiosity is, What differences are our retail residents seeing as far as their recycling through waste management at the Monroe County line? Does it change, or can our retail customers here be confident that they're getting the same recycling services through waste management, even though we reside in Genesee County?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And again, I don't know who the best of the three on the panel would be to answer that. Mike, Tina, Jeff?
Yeah, as chair of the Recycling Advisory Committee, I speak to a lot of different collection companies, waste management, and Casella, and a lot of the local ones. And most of their programs are universal. And what's good in one area is good in all of the areas. So I'm confident that the service you're receiving there in your county is the same as Monroe County.
Okay. Rob, any follow-up there?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to applaud your efforts. We're here at the ground floor of trying to learn more about recycling services. We've just done Clearstream Recycling at town for the last 10 years, and I know a lot's changed in the landscape. So I want to applaud you for all your efforts and getting this information out there, because we need to educate our residents out here of what is and what isn't recyclable. And I just thank you for your work, and probably I'll be emailing a couple of you after the show.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you, Rob, the supervisor of the town of Pavilion, New York. Dennis emails to ask, wine bottles, are they recycled? They aren't reground, are they? I'll ask Tina Stevens about wine bottles.
Oh, boy, glass. And I say that because glass is a nationwide problem at the moment. They are glass. If you put a wine bottle in your bin at your home, what happens to it when it gets into the truck? It gets broken, okay? When it comes to the plant, to the recycling center, it will not make it through our stream because it is broken glass. It will end up in the residue or in the glass stream. Now, in Monroe County, we have a very unique use for that. The reason that we have a unique use is that probably just about 10 years ago now, there used to be a glass recycling plant over near Canandaigua, and it closed down. It closed down because it was supposed to be under renovation, and it never reopened. But glass is a very expensive and difficult commodity to transport and to recycle because it's very heavy. So what happens with glass now is we collect that, and as I said, we have a unique and one of the few great things about Monroe County is we own our own landfill. I don't know if Mike talked about that at the outset, but the Mill Seat landfill in the town of Riga, that is specifically for county waste. But what we do with the glass that comes through now is we have this, it's called a beneficial use distinction, or a BUD. And we are able to use that glass because every day that landfill needs to be covered with 6 inches of material. And we are able to use that glass as a beneficial use distinction to do that. So know that wine bottle that you put in at your house is currently not recycled. However, the good news is New York State recognizes this as a problem, and the governor has just opened the Center for Glass Recycling at Alfred University, and they are studying the problem. So there will be answers.
But right now, we should not be putting wine bottles in the recycling?
State says we must accept the glass. You got it, Mike?
Yes. Yeah, but we encourage people to continue to recycle glass. We find an alternative use for it for construction purposes, as Tina mentioned, at the landfill, so we have a use for it. The market will emerge.
Okay, I get you.
We expect at some point the bottle bill may be expanded, and it may broaden some of the other glass products and some plastic products that aren't presently part of the bottle bill.
All right. So in other words, if you're recycling wine bottles, keep doing that, but hopefully they will be recycled in the way that you hope they will, not just found for alternative use soon. Is that fair?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Because that's been 90% of our recycling during the pandemic. So, okay. All right. Back we go, and this is Fred in Rochester. Hi, Fred. Go ahead.
Hey, lots of good information. Thank you. I I actually have more questions now since I've been waiting to get my question answered. But the base question to start with is I live in the city of Rochester in an apartment, and our disposal is out of Spencerport. And we don't have recycle bins, period. So what can I do absent of going all the way out to Eco Park? I got to get a trailer for the back of my bike. What are my alternatives?
Okay.
Well, that's a good question, Fred. Again, this is Mike Garland from the county, and we work very closely with the city of Rochester in recycling within the city. In fact, the county handles all of the recycling that they collect and bring to our recycling center on Lee and Emerson. Your landlord should be providing you a recycle bin. If you spoke to the landlord and they have not been compliant, you may want to reach out to the city. If you tell us an address, we can follow up with them. We are in the process of updating our solid waste and recycling law that is 30 years old from when recycling became law here in Monroe County. And as part of that law, we're looking at sections to make sure that we have enforcement ability to require that in residents like yours that that recycling is provided. It is required by law now, but the enforcement and the follow-through is something that is really critical to the success of that.
Okay. I reached out to Suburban Disposal, and they told me that they would have to pay extra to get a recycle bin.
Well, again, our recommendation would be to speak to your landlord. You know, we don't want you inconvenienced. Again, we could accept your recyclables at the Eco Park, so it is there as a resource for you.
But
we'd be happy to follow up with you afterwards and give you some additional guidance.
Can I take stuff out to Emerson?
No, we don't accept recycling there at those locations.
Okay.
From residents.
All right.
Yeah. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, Fred, thank you for the phone call. Good luck to you. Let me read three questions that may or may not be related, just trying to fit in a lot. Callie says, please remind your listeners that putting their old TV out on the curb is a no-no. New York State has a state program that makes most electronics free to recycle. Amy in Rochester says, do they have drop-off sites for their Eco Park? Have they considered that? Angela says, what should we be bringing personally direct to the Eco Park? So there's a lot there. TVs, electronics, Eco Park, drop-off sites. What should we be bringing to you at the Eco Park, if anything? You want to start there, Mike Garland?
Absolutely. Next to household hazardous waste, electronic waste is one of the largest items that we receive in terms of tonnage. It's a high-demand service that we provide there. Again, with our partnership through Waste Management, and Sun King is the electronics recycler that accepts those materials. We do charge, again, for TV monitors and flat-screen TVs. I say we. It's really Sun King. And it's a small fee because there is a cost associated with processing those electronics. But all other electronics that you may have at home that you want to dispose of, they would be accepted there at the Eco Park. No appointment is necessary.
Okay. Tina, Jeff, anything to add there?
Nope. I defer to the director on that one.
Okay. Very good. Jeff, same?
Yeah, Mike covered all the bases there.
All right, very good. Okay, just going straight down the list. On the subject of paper, Kathy is asking if we can have a paper recycling explainer, and Kristen says, I'm wondering about Amazon-type mailers, the shiny ones and the brown ones. What gets recycled, what gets shredded, what should we do with it? So Amazon-type mailers specifically and paper generally.
Gotcha. Okay, two things. All clean paper can be recycled. You can put it right in the bin at your home, okay? What we do ask, if you know it's going to rain or snow like it is tomorrow, please defer putting your paper out unless you have a covered container, because wet paper makes nothing but a mess, okay? Those envelopes, Evan, are a very common question. The white ones that have the blue Amazon logo on them that are strictly bubble wrapped,
yep,
those are recyclable at the grocery store or the eco park with plastic bags and film, never curbside. The other envelopes that are a combination of manila with bubble wrap on the inside, those are not recyclable. Those should go in the trash at your home. It is too difficult to separate off the paper and the bubble wrap.
Great information there. Certainly very helpful. Oh, yeah, and go ahead.
If I could just jump on that a little bit, is one thing that Monroe County is in a very good position geographically, in that there are two paper mills in Niagara Falls and one outside of Syracuse that create median and liner board for cardboard boxes, which, as we all know, is skyrocketing with the use of e-commerce and home delivery. So we have good buyers for all of the paper recycled in Monroe County right here within New York State. So there's a very high recovery rate of paper in New York State, and that stays within the New York State economy.
Very good.
Evan,
yep.
If I could just add to that, 80% of what we bring into the plant is paper and cardboard. 80%.
Wow.
So more than two-thirds, yeah.
Okay, and real quick then, Tina, because we had one question about preparing cardboard. In fact, the listener was asking, they had heard that if you don't break down boxes and you put them in your bins, they will just get thrown in the trash. So we'll get clarity on that. Another listener was asking that if it's important that we clean out items and dry them, if it rains, does that screw up the whole bin? Now, obviously with paper, you've said yes.
Yeah.
If you've put your bin out and it rains, is that a problem for other non-paper recyclables? So why don't you take us through some of this, Tina, as sort of a primer on how to prepare recycling?
Okay. Our guidance on cardboard is always empty and flattened. Okay. And Jeff has some insight on that from the truck side as well. But the containers, if it's just containers in the bin and it rains, I mean, we always ask people, please watch the weather. If you can at all, you know, we understand if you're at work and you put your bin out first thing in the morning and it pours, we got that. But if you know it's going to rain, try not to put your stuff out because, one of our guidance is dry, okay? So it's not going to preclude it from being recycled. It's just going to make it harder. That's all.
And, Tina, if I could add to that, too, Evan, as you may know, the city provides covered carts or toters to its residents for recycling, which is really a great feature because it keeps materials dry, keeps them from blowing down your street, keeps the bin from blowing away, and it allows for biweekly collection so you can fill up your bin more, your tote or your cart out. You can bring it out less.
Okay.
And it makes it easier for the residents.
Sure. And again, if we're not breaking down a box, does that mean it's not going to get recycled?
No, it will get recycled. The challenge with unbroken down boxes is they can take up so much space in the truck that the truck fills up too quickly, and we'll have to dump and then go back out on the route and delay pickup down the road. Now if the unbroken down box contains garbage, then it will be seen as a garbage container. But if it's just an unbroken down box, it's not thrown away.
Very good. We see a lot fewer plastic Wegmans bags, for example, or just plastic bags in the last year or two. But got a question from Bob who says, why can't we put recyclables in plastic garbage bags or plastic bags? It's recyclable plastic, isn't it?
Not that kind of plastic, Evan. That's a plastic film. And as you know, last year in March, New York State instituted a bag ban.
Yep.
Okay. And if you go to our website, monroecounty.gov/recycling, watch the 10-minute video. There is a very graphic explanation of why we cannot accept any kind of bags or film. It gets wound around the gears in the recycling plant. The plant must be shut down. The material must be cut out. It causes downtime.
Oof.
Okay, that's why we don't want that there. Yeah, you got to watch our video, Evan. It's great. But anyway, that is why that cannot go there. It can still go back to the store. It can also be taken to the Eco Park, where Wegmans picks up our film from the Eco Park, and Wegmans uses that to make new bags. You have to remember that Wegmans is in markets that do not have a bag ban, where they're still using plastic bags, so that those bags and film are still recycled.
All right, let's do kind of rapid fire. We've got so many questions, so many very good questions. Reagan in Rochester next. Go ahead, Reagan.
Hi, thanks for having me, and I'm going to have my sixth grader listen to this because she's working on a project on plastic pollution and recycling right now. So, hi, Lily. But I just wanted to ask, I'm a nurse, and several years ago I worked for one of our large hospital systems and was horrified to learn that they did not recycle. They may recycle bottles or things like that from the cafeteria, but hospitals produce such a large millions of tons amount of waste, and I wondered what was happening, you know, with our two hospital systems. And just in saying that too, like with the onus so often being on the single user, I wonder if, you know, we should keep the attention on the big businesses and hospitals and producers of the waste.
Great question. Great question from Regan and Lily, I think. Thank you very much. Jeff or Mike, want to hit that?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I'm not really familiar with the exact workings of hospital recycling programs, but I know they're way more complicated than a household or an ordinary industrial recycling program, just from the standpoint of containers that have touched medicines and drugs, containers that have personal information on them, things like that. So that could have been one of the reasons the system was set up the way you saw it.
Okay, and Mike, do you agree with Regan there that individual work is important, and we all care about that, but there's also an important sort of from top down and big organizations?
Yeah, absolutely. And what we find is that a lot of the institutions, industries, and commercial organizations in our community want to do the right thing. In fact, a lot of manufacturers are striving for zero waste to landfill. They want to achieve that status. We know there's big challenges with large enterprises being able to practically recycle materials. Our law is as we look at the new law, we will take that into consideration. The law that is presently in place doesn't put as much of a stringent requirement on the institutions, commercial or industrial settings as they do for residents. So I understand where Reagan's coming from and Lily, and we appreciate their concern in environmental stewardship to want to do the right thing. And we appreciate what they're doing right at home.
Got to be fast here. Rachel in Irondequoit, go ahead.
Hi, just wondering about berry boxes, like strawberry boxes and blueberry boxes.
The plastic ones?
Yes, sorry.
The plastic berry boxes. Great question. Tina?
Well, those are one of the things that we now have to throw in the trash. What happens is those get compacted in the trucks. New methods of collection compact them. They end up flattened in our paper stream. And as I mentioned earlier, 80% of our stream is paper, and our motto is protect the paper. So please throw those away unless you can find a reuse for them.
Oh, wow. Let's see here. Bill in Rochester. Got to keep it tight. Go ahead, Bill.
Yep, I have a 7-cubic-foot freezer I'd like to get rid of. It no longer works. And okay. Also, you might mention the Western New York Material Exchange in Genesee County for that other gentleman.
Okay, thank you, Bill. So it's a chest freezer. Can you take it to the Eco Park, Mike Garland?
Yes, please. Take it to the Eco Park. There's a $20 charge to have the Freon removed, but we'll gladly accept it. Our hours are Wednesday, 1 to 6:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 7:30 to 1 p.m. No appointment necessary for appliances.
Okay, and he mentioned an exchange. What was he talking about there, Mike?
The Western New York Materials Exchange is a group of folks who have materials. We link to it on our website, monroecounty.gov/recycling. But if you have materials that you are looking to dispose of or give them away or sell, it's a composite list that is compiled by Peggy Grayson from Genesee County, and we get it probably once a month. And we look at it. There are plenty of folks on there from Monroe County. If you're looking for something, it's a great place to check out.
Tina, how about envelopes that have that little plastic window on them, listeners are asking?
Yep, that's a common question. Back about 10 years ago, we used to have to take out the window on both those and Kleenex boxes. You don't have to do it anymore. Just put the envelope in the recycling.
Jim wants to know about pop cans, beer cans, Tina.
Clean them out. Put them in the recycling bin, or take them back and get your nickel.
You can still get the nickel.
Absolutely.
You can still get the nickel. There you go. Okay. And, oh, my gosh, I just saw a tweet stream from Kate McArdle, who's been doing great work on this for so long, talking about the Center for Sustainable Materials Management and some of the work that's been happening in the last couple of years. So, Kate, sorry I saw that late. Let's just have a whole separate conversation because we should not only learn about that, but based on the phone calls and emails, I'm just going to have to ask Mike and Tina and Jeff to sort of do this quarterly with us, or maybe at least a few times a year. We are so grateful for the information, and I didn't get everything. So let me just say on behalf of the listening audience, wow, thank you for doing this. Thank you for pushing what you can to make us all better at this. And here's to hoping that we can expand what we can recycle and maybe become better consumers. Mike, thanks very much for the time.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Evan.
Director of the Monroe County Department of Environmental Services, Tina, Education Coordinator. Thank you, Tina.
You're welcome, Evan. My pleasure.
Please come back. And Jeff Myers. Jeff Myers, General Manager for Cascades Recovery, Chair of the Monroe County Recycling Advisory Committee. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you for having me.
And I promise, listeners, they are a phenomenal trio. And they will be back. And more connections coming up in a moment.